Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday. Nu kör vi!
Here we are then. We've made it to the halfway point of Melfest 2024 already. Three shows in the bag, three more to come, including the final in Stockholm on March the 9th. It's shaping up to be another hotly contested show too, with six acts having already secured their spot in that final. Six more have the chance to join them over the next few weeks. Before that, of course, we have Saturday's heat to look back on. We've just heard the two songs that we had to bid farewell to, along with the two songs that won a place in the final qualifying round that has been bolted on to the end of the new fifth heat this year. But what about the songs that made it through to the final? Well, here's what happened when Jacqueline and Cassiopeia found out that they were heading to Stockholm.
Och den som av er har fått flest röster hittills ikväll och därmed blir vår första finalist är Jacqueline! De har valt att ge sin tolva till Cassiopeia!
Yes, Jacqueline on debut with Effortless and Kazzy on her return. Both songs written by Kazzy as well. It's the first time in Melfest history that someone who performed one song and wrote another had them both qualify to the final. Very, very impressive indeed. There's plenty to dissect from Saturday's heat. We'll do that with an expert panel as usual. Plus, we'll do what we usually do and look ahead to this week's heat. And, if that wasn't enough, the one and only Dotter will be making her Melfest Monday debut as we'll be finding out why she's back in this year's competition. So, we've got all that and more still to come.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media. @Eurotour Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Let's welcome our panel then, shall we? It's the return of the Dream Team. First up, from Aftonbladet, Toby Ek. Hello, Toby.
Hi there.
Nice to see you again. From Swedish Radio, and of course, Melfest commentator, Bella Kvist. Hello, Bella.
Hello. Hi.
And the presenter of Furfest, Efterfest, and you'll have seen her during the live shows of Melfest this year, working away on the facts and the stats and the gossip, Tina Merrison. Tina, hello.
Hello, 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 hello,
hello.
Cheering from the crowd. I actually feel quite starstruck being on with you both because everything I consume currently features Tina and Tobbe. It's like everything I watch and listen. And I'm not in the Melfest bubble yet, so I'm just like, that's what I feel sitting here with you guys.
That's sweet.
Tina, what's it been like in the arena? Because when we spoke to you a few weeks ago, I think we only knew you were going to be doing the pre-show and the after show. I don't think we knew you were going to be in the live show. So it was a lovely surprise to see you in the shows. What's it been like?
Oh, it's been, I've had nights where I have not been able to sleep. Out of sheer panic. I'm not doing this commentating for the television audience alone. Of course, I'm doing it with the brilliant Ronny Larsson from the QX magazine here. He's the head editor. He is actually the one providing most of the stats because he's like an encyclopedia of information in regards to Mello. So he's teaching me a lot. But it's a huge honor. It's so much fun, so much pressure. and on some of the heats, it's also sort of stressful. Like we're supposed to very quickly count all the votings and, you know, understand the whole stats of everything and sort of put that into context for the TV audiences. That is, that's much harder than I actually thought it is, but I'm very grateful that I have my commentating partner, Ronny, with me.
I must say that I absolutely love this segment. And I love you doing it, Tina, with my dear friend Ronny as well. and of course, I am biased here because Ronny is a really good friend of mine. And I'm here with you, Tina. But I love how Melodifestivalen this year takes the competition seriously and does this part for the fans who are really into the competition.
Two thumbs up. Thank you very much.
No, I love it. And the fact that you add little bits of details, how it's gone in rehearsals, it's because these are the things people will be sat at home thinking about, wondering, you know? And obviously that's what we try and do in the English commentary as well. But I love that you do that in the main show now.
What I really want to know is, Tina, when they do the results at the end and it goes halfway through and then they come to you, of course, do you know what the final results are going to be at that point? Or are you just like us watching at home?
Yeah, we do know the four first ones. So we know basically the only difference is that we get that information a few more minutes before actually the viewers do. So just so that we have time to prepare, you know, the context of everything. But where me and Ronny deliberately have asked them not to tell us the end result until as close as it can possibly get for us, just because we don't accidentally want to say something. but also to be sort of, you know, we want to cater to the TV audiences. We're not supposed to be hosts. We're not supposed to be. We want to be on in the sofa with them, just with a little bit more knowledge, and still contain the feelings that they had that we can share together. Just that we have a slightly more bits of facts that we can give.
Yes. Well, you're certainly doing a good job. You're getting great feedback from Toby and Bella as well. And I'm sure everyone in Sweden watching is loving it as well.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Shall we chat about the show at the weekend more generally, the artists that we saw? Toby, let me come to you first because we were in Växjö, which in the past...
Where were we?
Oh no, I thought I was going to get away with that. Is that not good enough pronunciation?
It's all right. Växjö.
Okay, that was virtually what I said, wasn't it?
Okay.
You can let me off.
Sure, it was what
okay. You said. Okay, anyway, we that was, of course, the same city that in 2012, Loreen first performed Euphoria. In 2017, it was the same city that Robin Bengtsson first performed I Can't Go On. Toby, did we see the winner of Melfest this weekend?
I don't think that we did. Jacqueline might have a chance, but I don't think that we saw the winner of Melfest. I don't think we have seen the winner of Melfest yet. I'm just hoping to be much more flabbergasted by something coming on. I want to be astounded, and I haven't been that so far in the competition.
Bella, have you been flabbergasted or astounded from any of the performances on Saturday?
Obviously, like, I remain impartial and I love all the acts, but I was extremely impressed by everything I've seen so far. But having no knowledge of Jacqueline from before, and the first time I heard it, there was something that really hit me about her song where I was like, oh, like, I got a certain feeling where I had no expectations, and I thought it was wow, like, real out of the box, really great. So that had a certain feeling for me, but like Cassiopeia as well, what an amazing song, ticking all the boxes. And there are so many great acts this year. I can't really pinpoint anything, but I was very pleasantly surprised by Jacqueline, having not heard her before, I'll say that much.
And the reason why I didn't mention Cassiopeia here is because never have there been a Melfest winner who didn't win their heat. Until that happens, I will stand by. It's only going to be between the heat winners, and that was Jacqueline this week. But you are absolutely right, Bella. Her performance is amazing. She sings without backing vocalists. She doesn't have any support in the lead vocals, and she sung equally well throughout every single rehearsal. She is amazing on stage. But I think the stage show is amazing, but there is something a little bit more edgy that I would want into something that we should send to Eurovision.
Do you think? For me watching at home, I thought it was flawless. I hate to use the word effortless because, of course, it's the name of the song. It's such an easy pun to make, but she just looked effortless on that stage, do you not think?
Oh, absolutely. But for me, it's something about the song. I think that there's something I love the song, but I would want something even more contemporary, even more unique.
Tina, you would have spoken to Jacqueline straight after the show. What did she have to say?
Well, she was quite surprised. She's not necessarily a very sort of extroverted person off stage. She gives everything on stage, but off stage she's quite calm, calm and collected. But she was, of course, I mean, she did have emotions. She was very humbled. She was very grateful. She could barely believe it. And I think I saw a video on her Instagram today, a story where she was, you know, the same. She could barely sort of grasp that she was going to the finals. And I believe she said she was going to celebrate with her family. That's at least what I remember from our conversation.
Bella, what do you think? Were you obviously watching at home like I was, like a lot of people listening? What did you think of her performance watching as a viewer?
Oh, I thought it was a brilliant performance. What a way to start the show as well, with her like descending from the roof almost, and really visually amazing, really nice. What struck me, obviously, we had two female winners, both written by Moa Cassiopeia. All of the dancers wearing the same outfits. Clearly, that's a winning thing this year. The morph suits, is that what we call them?
Like, yes.
Is that a thing? Yes, I think that made me chuckle, that those were the ones that the audience loved a lot, yeah.
I think we should chat about Cassiopeia, of course. She's got a place in the final as well. And Bella, she's written both of the songs, which is an achievement in itself as well. Mm. And I know you've worked with her in the past on some Eurovision coverage. You must have had a smile as big as anything on your face when you watched her perform as well.
She is such a warm person and such a happy, smiley, positive person. So whenever she's on stage, it just makes me smile as well. And I thought it was so touching to hear her talk about the song in the podcast last week, but also on TV, where she was talking about how it's about her anxiety and worrying, something I can relate a lot to. So I thought it was really lovely for her to talk about that, and for the song to be about some self-love and, you know, that kind of thing. So can we just say that outfit? How amazing. She's made it from Christmas tinsel, apparently.
Yep.
A big fan.
I think naturally people will compare it to her performance 2 years ago. So feel free. Do you want to compare it to her performance 2 years ago?
I can absolutely do that. This is the same type of bag of mixed sweets. It's a bag of candy. both the song and the performance and what's on stage. It is a little bit more psychedelic, and the dancers' outfits are also very much like a Swedish chocolate bar called Kex Choklad. I can't stop thinking about that. And those eyes that are in the dancer's hands, they make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. But apart from that, I absolutely love this. I think she's so sweet and so funny and so loving, and I love watching her do this on stage. The hook is catchy. She's a great songwriter. It might not be as catchy as can't get what was
I can't get enough. Yeah,
I can't get enough. Thank you. But she's gonna have a great hit with this. But seeing her joy at the after party last night, she was the one that partied until the party closed.
I knew it wouldn't take you long to mention an after party. Have you been covered in champagne yet? I know it's your go-to thing to do at an after party.
A little last night, more the week before. Liamo locked eyes with me and just went for it across the table and emptied the bottle over me. I love it, of course.
Shall we chat about the artists who went through to that final qualifier? Because it was very close in the end, wasn't it? We had Cloudy on 59, Gunilla Persson on 56, and then Clara on 52. So it's just 7 points separated them. Tina, obviously, when you were in the arena and you were in the middle of those scores and doing some of those stats and facts, you must have been thinking, even at that point, this could go one way or another.
Yeah, and we knew quite early on in the show that the voting was very sort of tight, and that there was small shifts going on throughout the whole show, even I think before the last song was performed. So that was very exciting for both me and Ronnie, of course. I still don't really think that I've sort of calmed down from that that voting session, but it was interesting. I actually thought, because generally I would say that when you have debutants, of course they might be to a slight disadvantage when you have other artists that, of course, have the audience know them, they've heard the songs, they have a longer sort of timeline, a story or a relationship to the viewers. So I was positively surprised when Cloudy actually went to the qualifications. And I was happy for Gunilla, because she was very happy that she did not have to leave the competition. And she was extremely surprised and humbled by the love that she got in the arena. She started crying on the after party show that we had, on the after show that we had as well. She was close to tears.
And to add to that, Tina, the fact that 3 out of the 4 that are still in the competition were newcomers. That's almost unheard of. The only thing that I would have wanted even more was if Clara would have made it instead of Claudi, because that would have made it the first time ever for female qualifiers.
But
instead we got 3 debutantes, and that's almost
impressive as well. Yeah.
Toby, last week on the podcast, I don't know if you listened. I know you're an avid listener, but I know you're very busy. I may well have compared you to Gunilla Persson because you are both fairly controversial, which did get a laugh from your colleagues, Stina and Jenny, I must admit. Did you catch up with Gunilla at all during the week?
Me and Gunilla are now best friends. And I don't really know what I've done to deserve this, but she sees me and she runs up to me and hugs me and says, thank you. And I haven't been particularly I haven't been extra nice to her. I've been trying to be as neutral as I try. I always try to be constructive when I write about rehearsals. I've written that she's made lots of mistakes and what she needed to improve, and that there was a risk of her becoming Samiram Victor, because the first two sentences during rehearsal, her first two lines in the song, really sounded awful several times during the rehearsals. And I think that was part of why Samiram Victor didn't make it through, because it sounded off key straight away and then nobody cared. And so I haven't been extra nice to her, but I've also been constructive, and I've written that I absolutely love the song and that it's catchy and that it's just gotten stuck in my head. And perhaps her team has only showed her the really nice things that I've written. It might be that. But we've had some fun times. She is an eccentric woman, and this is also what her daughter calls her. My mother is eccentric, but I love her. And I would say the same. She's very eccentric, but I'm very fascinated by her and how the audience, how she managed to go through with the performance and improve herself throughout rehearsals to the point that she was excellent in the broadcast.
Bella, I was surprised to see you go through, not necessarily to do with the performance at all, but because when we were chatting last week on the podcast, Jenny and Stina, Toby's colleagues from Aftonbladet, were saying that she obviously is a well-known character in Sweden, but potentially not the most loved. So I was surprised to see so much love and affection for her.
Yes. So I lived abroad for many years. I kind of missed out on the whole, like, of her fame on television, but I've sort of caught up now recently. And from what I've read, yes, very controversial. I did think that Toby was going to hang up when you compared the two. That was big of you, Toby. I didn't know what to expect, really. She did really well. Was it from 16 to, like, the 30s, the sort of mid voting groups, but then quite badly in the other ones. So she's clearly found her like audience there, the sort of TikTok audience, I assume. I did see a lot of influencers sort of share about her and say that they absolutely love her and she's a queen and, you know. So she's definitely found an audience. So I'd say that she's, there are those who love her, absolutely adore her, and then there are those who are more lukewarm, I guess. But yeah, really interesting, really, really, and what a performance. I mean, the dancers, can we just give them like,
please,
a shout out as well?
Out.
Amazing,
thank,
right?
Thank you, Gunilla, for giving us cowboys.
Yes.
The Melody Festival and dancers throughout, they are amazing.
They're
how
excellent.
Quickly they adjust, adapt, change from the style to the dancing style, everything. They don't get the credit that they deserve.
Because like during Kim Cesarian's performance as well, and I love it when they bring on Lamin as well and Daniel, like they have this incredible chemistry that just goes through the screen. And for big like Melfest fans and nerds, you know, you recognize them from these iconic numbers throughout the years. And it just, I adore them so much.
Because a lot of the dancers, you know, many people listening might not know, a lot of them are house dancers. So they might do performance number one, quickly run off stage, change their clothes and come back on for performance number two, right?
Oh, yes, that's exactly. They have a quick change behind backstage. So they basically run off, pull everything off, put on a new outfit on, and then they run upstage again. I think also another thing that I would like to highlight when it comes to the dancers is that even during rehearsals, they nail every single movement. Because usually, I used to be a dancer when I was younger, obviously not on a professional level at all, but like usually during rehearsals, the dance teacher always would be like, just mark your movements, you don't need to do them fully. But our house dancers, they do it fully to 500% every single time, which is a testament to their absolute devotion to the actual craft, which I think also should be highlighted when speaking about them, the real professionals.
Shall we quickly touch on the two artists that we had to sadly say goodbye to then on Saturday night? Clara Klingenstrom making her return after 3 years away, Bella. What did you think of her performance? Because there was certainly nothing wrong with it whatsoever, but sadly, no. Two people do have to go home.
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought she did so well. I loved that it was kind of not like, what do you call it, scaled back. Like there wasn't loads going on, but like her with her guitar and she brings this sort of rock vibe that I love, this sort of punky spirit. And I think that she's kind of like the Kelly Clarkson of Sweden. She makes these songs that you want to sing along to when you've had a rough time and you're like, you know, what? So I think that this song, I still think it will do really well, but outside of Melfest, it's a perfect song to like shout along to, you know. I will certainly be doing that. So yeah, I thought she did really, really well. And I was thinking about, I know Tobbe has this theory about, so I'm stealing it right off now, Tobbe, but that like boy will always beat girl. And I think that like between Cloudy and Clara, they were sort of similar and that maybe it was between them.
Yeah, we've seen it so many times in Melody Festival, and that when push comes to shove, boy always beats girl. And here we had two pop songs in Swedish that was a little bit on the sadder type, and then Cloudy beat Clara.
Toby, Bella, Tina, stay right there. We'll look ahead to heat number four right after this.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Welcome back to Melfest Monday from us here at the Eurotrip. Plenty still to come as we look ahead to heat number four. Dotta will be stopping by for a chat as well, so don't go anywhere. I'd love to take a quick moment to remind you about Buy Me a Coffee. It's the place you can go to support what we do here on the podcast. Rob and I bring you the best coverage of Melfest and, of course, Eurovision that we possibly can. We love doing it. And if you'd like to say thanks and support us with a few pounds, euros or krona that you have going spare, then we'd be ever so grateful. You can do that by heading to buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip podcast. Or if you just want to get in touch, then you can email us hello@eurotrippodcast.com or we are on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads @EurotripPodcast. Now then, shall we delve into the Melfest Monday Hall of Fame? It's not been a good start for me, has it? The last 3 weeks, I've been asking for your help to induct some iconic Swedish songs and performers into our very own Hall of Fame. I choose a nominee, Rob chooses one too, and then you choose between them over on Twitter. Well, Rob won again last week, so Fame, according to you, is the best duet Sweden has sent to the Eurovision Song Contest. This week, though, we are looking for Carola's best song at Eurovision. Yes, she's been there three times, 1983, 2006, and of course 1991 when she won. So again, we're making things difficult for ourselves by not giving us many songs to choose from. So just three to choose from. Let's find out which of those Rob has chosen.
Well, well, well. Here we are, another week, another Melfest Monday Hall of Fame, and another entry for me in the Hall of Fame this year. Or at least I'm sure it will be, given that so far we have done this three times on the series. And how many entries have you got in the Hall of Fame, James? Yep, no, that's none. How many have I got? I've got three. So you could say I'm feeling invincible. Oh, is that a hint for my entry into the Melfest Monday Hall of Fame this week, or my submission rather? I think it is, because if we are talking best Carola songs, and yes, I'm going to say Carola, not Carola, best Carola songs at Eurovision, then it has to be this one. It's her entry from the contest in Athens in Greece in 2006. This is Invincible.
He's getting a bit cocky, if you ask me, but there we go. Well, I'm going to go back to 1983 when she made her Eurovision debut. Yes, Fremling. She made her debut in Melfest that year, winning convincingly after scoring top points from all regions of Sweden. Then, of course, she went to Eurovision and finished third. She's not one to finish at the bottom of the leaderboard, is she? First in 1991, third in 1983, and fifth in 2006. Very, very impressive. Well, anyway, those are your choices, Fremling or Invincible. There'll be a poll over on Twitter at some point on Monday, which will be live all week, so go and cast your vote for Carola's best Eurovision entry.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Now then, we're going to focus on heat number four. It's coming up in just 5 days' time. Toby, Bella and Tina will be back with us to do that in just a moment or so. But first, shall we welcome Dotter onto the podcast for the first ever time? It's great to welcome Dotter onto the podcast. She is, of course, in Melfest again this year. She's been in it a handful of times before, made her debut back in 2018, came so close to winning as well back in 2020, and returned again, going back to the final in 2021. Well, 3 years later, she is back with a brand new song called It's Not Easy to Write a Love Song, which she has written alongside Dino Medenhodzic, who is, if you didn't know already, her partner. And this is going to be the first time that she is competing in Melfest since becoming a mother. So we will chat to her about that. We'll chat about her previous participations in Melfest. We'll ask her what it's like taking her baby with her on tour, and indeed what it's like working with her partner on music. So this is what happened when Rob caught up with Dotter.
So Dotter, welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much.
Dotter, the obvious question is, why now? Why are you back in Mello in 2024?
Why am I back? First of all, it's the song. I never write music for Melodifestivalen, but when I write music when the song is finished, sometimes I feel like this could really fit for Melodifestivalen, or I feel like this needs to have a bigger, you know, audience. I don't want to drop it on Spotify. So that's what I feel with this song. I really felt like this song needs to be seen on a bigger scene. And also, when I was participating in 2020 and 2021, it was a pandemic. So I didn't have the chance to
to meet my audience immediately, and I had to wait for like 2 years, and it felt like my music then wasn't that, they've been waiting 2 years and I was not that, popular. I don't know.
I know what you mean. You get the full, you get the full Melody Festival experience this time, right? That's the,
that's the
most exciting thing.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Did you have any thoughts? I was going to say over the last couple of years of competing in Melody Festival, and but I mean, you and Dino yourselves, you've been pretty busy yourselves anyway. So presumably there hasn't been a lot of time for that.
No, exactly. We had a baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you. She's 15 months now. So yeah, it's been a really fun and stressful year. So we've been focusing most of our time on her. I haven't been able to write almost any music, but I've been performing a lot. She was joining my whole tour last year. So she's a little bit of a tour baby.
What are the best and worst things about having a baby on tour?
The best thing is that I can bring her like with me on my job. I can be anywhere and she can join me, and I can be with her almost like the whole time except for when I'm on the stage. But the worst thing is to be in the car with her, because she don't want to be, you know, stuck into a car seat for hours. So we started to take the train nowadays, because now she can walk and everything. So she really don't want to sit down for more than like 20 minutes.
And how much of the Mellow 2024 journey do you think she'll get to see?
I think almost nothing.
she'll be at home.
Yeah, I think that's better for her to be like in the park and with her dad. So me and Dino is not touring together anymore. He has to be with her, and yeah. But it's fine. But a little bit sad, of course.
So we've mentioned Dino, of course. Dino Medenhodzic, your partner, yes. who is a huge songwriter in Sweden. And of course, people will have seen him in Melody Festivalen before. How much of a help for the two of you is it that you can bounce ideas off one another and then also obviously work together as you have done on your entry this year?
I think it's both great and bad, because you can be like 100% honest with your partner, and sometimes it's not that professional in the studio. You can get really angry, but also it's really good for the song sometimes when you can be truly honest and really say that I don't really like this idea and can we skip this part, or you know, because when you write with the new people every day, you feel like you have to know them to be that honest. So that's a good thing, actually. So most of the time it feels good to be working with your partner.
So we've already spoken about obviously how 2024 feels different for you, because, you know, there's not a pandemic, thankfully, and the experience will be very, very different. Would you say that you're different as an artist compared to the last two times you competed?
Yeah, I feel so. I mean, it's been, I think, 3 years. So I think I've grown a little, but also since I become a mom, I feel like I'm a little bit of a different person. And I also hear music differently. Like lyrics means a lot more to me now than it was before. I can really listen to lyrics now and feel things. So, and also the love you feel for your child, that's a kind of love that you've never felt before. It's crazy. I know that people say that all the time, and it's true. It's a crazy kind of love. So when I write music, I feel different. So I feel like my music has grown a little bit. Like I feel a little bit more like an adult than a child. But most of the time I feel like a child.
How difficult was it to return to Mellow in 2021? Because obviously in 2020 you came so close. You were 1 point away from representing Sweden. Obviously we know what would have eventually happened anyway. But how difficult was it to return to the competition having come so close to winning it? Or did it just make you hungrier to win?
At first, 2020, I wasn't even ready to win because the first year when I was participating 2018 with the song Cry, I went out like directly. I didn't even it came to the second chance or anything. So when I was going to participate with Bulletproof, I felt like it can be the same thing. Like I can be out immediately, but it doesn't matter because I just wanted to show my song. I felt like this song can be huge, even if it doesn't go to the final. I mean, people can at least hear it. So I wasn't even thinking like I could come that far. So when I was like 1 point from winning, I felt like, oh my God, I don't even know if I'm ready. So I'm quite thankful actually that I didn't win. But then after that, I felt like, okay, it could be fun to win maybe. So then I participated with Little Tot. And also because of the pandemic, I felt like I want to participate again and see what happened. But then it was pandemic one more year. So yeah, it didn't really matter.
How special is it for you as an artist to still have so much love for your music? You know, all of your music, not just your Melody Festival and entries, but you know, you have such an authentic and a you know, iconic sound. So how much do you enjoy the fact that your fans still have, and wider Eurovision fans as well, have so much love for your Melody Festival and entries, even now?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm super happy and thankful. I'm just, there's no words. Because I felt like people had forgot about me. but I realized that you're still there and you're still happy to see me in the show. And I love to show my music and share it with everyone. So I'm just super thankful and happy.
Well, before we finish, let's talk about the song. It's Not Easy to Write a Love Song. What can people expect when they hear it for the first time?
They can expect a mid-tempo song and a little bit organic and dynamic, but also explosive. So it got like the whole thing.
So it still sounds very authentically Dotta. What we know and love from you, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
And I know you're going to tell me that you can't tell me what people will be able to see on stage, because that's all very top secret. The question that I ask in this instance then is there a colour that people can expect to see?
Not really. There's not much colours at all, actually.
That tells me enough.
Totally black.
That tells me enough. And Dotta, obviously, how special would it be to win if you were to win this year? Because obviously you would get to represent Sweden at home, on home soil. So what would that be like?
That would be so much fun. Oh my God. I would love to represent Sweden. So yeah, but at the same time, I feel like it's a competition. I don't want to think that it is a competition. I just want to show my song, you know. So, yeah, it's like I don't think that I should overthink anything. I should just feel and enjoy, you know, and do what I love.
And you said it's, you know, it's not a competition, or you don't want to think of it as a competition. So how nice is it to be able to catch up with some of the other artists, and have you had the chance to speak to anyone else who's part of the class of 2024?
Yeah, it's so much fun, and there's a lot of artists that I already know. So I think it's going to be super fun this time.
Dotta, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for speaking to us, and all the best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to speak to Dotta for the first ever time here on Melfest Monday, or indeed the Eurotrip. She made her debut, so it was great to chat to her. Let's welcome back Toby, Bella and Tina. They are back with us to look ahead to heat number four. And Bella, do you want to take us through the running order for Saturday night?
I would love to. We've got Albin Tingvall with Done Getting Over You, Lia Larsson with 30 kilometer i timmen, Dotter with It's Not Easy to Write a Love Song, Scarlett with Circus X, Lasse Stefans with En Sång om Sommaren, and Danny Saucedo with Happy That You Found Me.
Lovely jubbly. I can just read out Leah Larson's song again, because as an English speaker, or to any speaker, it would look like it's in their native language. To me, I would have thought it was 30 kilometers an hour, but Bella, it is actually
30 kilometer i timmen. But I mean, I'm just assuming she's singing in Swedish, isn't she?
I'm quite sure, but I'm not sure how she's pronouncing it though.
So, yeah, I could have got that wrong. Okay, so it's either 30 kilometers an hour or 30 kilometer i timmen. Which is a reference to how quickly you can drive these slow-going vehicles that the young kids can go around and listening to Epaduk, I believe.
Yes, so we would usually go through these in order of the performances, but since we're talking about Leah at the moment, we sort of referenced this a couple of weeks ago when Gustav Dahlander was on the podcast and we were previewing Heat number 2, because this is the same sort of style we've seen already in Melfest this year. It sort of made its Melfest debut, this genre of music, didn't it?
Yes, we had Fröken Snusk, although over last year we sort of had Elof and Benny, but it wasn't as maybe, you know, Epa Dunki. But yes, Fröken Snusk, I would say, is a similar vibe that we will expect from Leah Larsson. So that's the kind of upbeat, poppy tune vibe. It's difficult to describe. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
A song to party to.
Yes.
The genre is really invented for partying, whether it's with alcohol or without alcohol, but to dance around, shout along to, and party. I'm looking forward to see whether this whether this outshines Fröken Snusk or whether Fröken Snusk is the queen of Epadunk in Sweden.
Well, she's actually worked with Melodifestivalen as a social media content creator, but she also, I mean, most of her sort of output and what she's known for is things that she do on TikTok. There's lots of dancing, there's lots of singing cover songs. I think she has somewhere around 400,000 followers. So she's more into, she has a sort of TikTok career more than she has maybe a more traditional musical career with this thing. But obviously she has fans and obviously she wants to pursue this singing. So yeah, it will be exciting to see what she will bring to Melfest.
Let's take one step back then to the artist who was opening the show, Toby. Albin Tingvall. What do we know about Albin?
Albin was the runner-up of the Swedish Idol 2 years ago. More than that, I don't really know. I'm expecting him to do a pop song, but I don't really know what he brings into the competition. Having him start the heat, I would expect it to be upbeat and a little bit, you know, modern, a little bit of a party vibe, but I really don't know. I might actually have heard this song, but I don't remember it.
Oh, well.
But okay, I'm 46 years old. My memory is really, really short. I might absolutely love it when I hear it, when they play it Tuesday.
When did you hear it? Because if it was yesterday, then
No. This was, if I've heard it, it was before Christmas.
Let's do Dotter next. Bella, can I come to you first about Dotter? Because I think for international viewers who are Eurovision fans, probably first and foremost, when they see Dotter in the lineup for Melfest, the excitement levels go through the roof.
Absolutely. People love her across the globe. So I think a lot of fans will be tuning in for this one, hoping for her to get a revenge and win. I mean, that's just judging from like the kind of messages we get throughout the commentary. She's got a lot of fans outside of Sweden.
Because we were just chatting to her there, and obviously we mentioned that in 2020, or 2020 rather, she was, what, 1 point off of a win. So, you know, she's been so close before, hasn't she?
Exactly. And in this heat, we'll have two people who have been very close to winning before, with Danny Saucedo as well. So it's going to be a really interesting one. My feeling, just judging on that sort of history, is that they're both very keen to win the whole thing.
They are, but I just want to go back to my rule: boy wins over girl. Unfortunately, I think that this is Dotter's fourth run in Melfest, and unless she has the same type of upbeat pop song, I think that a lot of the Swedes can kind of forget her, or maybe, you know, treat her a little bit like Mariette, that she's a Melfest staple. Whereas I do think that the Swedish audience is more curious as to see what Danny Saucedo brings to the show.
Let me just interrupt you, Toby. Forgive me for interrupting, but in the chat that we had with her, we asked, you know, what can people expect from the song? And her exact words were, it's mid-tempo, it's organic, it's dynamic, it's explosive. What does that tell you about the kind of song we're going to get?
It tells me bye-bye, Dotter. Unfortunately.
Does it?
But yeah. Mid-tempo, organic. That is not what Dotter fans want her to bring into Melodifestivalen. She might prove me wrong, and I have not heard this song, and I'm very curious about hearing it. But I think that this might be not what the Dotter fans will want her to compete with.
We mentioned Danny Saucedo in that, and we will come to him in just a second. But I want to go and chat about Scarlett next. And I don't want to ask a question, but just merely say Bella's name and just let her go wild.
I'm like, just because I like rock music. Yeah, no, I'm super excited about Scarlett entering Melfest. This should be really interesting. What I'm expecting here from what they've done before from that back catalogue of music is something a little bit heavier than Smash Into Pieces. I am very curious to see if that is what we get and how, if so, that does. Because, of course, Smash have smashed it. People love them, including all the kids. This could get a little bit more scary. They're wearing all the like face paint, the corpse paint, and it's going to get a little bit freaky, I think, with the name Circus X, you know. I'm very curious to see how this does. Either people would get scared and run away, or they'll do massively well. I mean, look at Bambi Thug from Ireland doing a sort of similar thing. You might say just from like looks wise, but the corpse paint and everything. Super interested to see how this does and what it sounds like.
Tina, do you think this sort of thing is going to scare a lot of children away?
Not necessarily.
Not in a bad way. I mean, they might feel a bit scared, but might still vote for them at least.
Because I actually think that, I mean, when it comes to the younger audiences, they have a slightly higher tolerance level. They're more accepting of the quirkiness, the fun. I mean, that's why Gunilla, and also like they're not afraid to be ironic. Like, of course, they like the competition. They like to, you know, cheer on their favorite, but they're also not afraid and they don't take it too seriously. So they can sort of ironically dedicate themselves to something as well. And that's just generally how teens work, I guess, with from what I see and experience when it comes to their humor. So I think that this, but then there's also that. I mean, if it's too sort of true rocky, then it might not be ironic, it might not be fun enough, it might not be quirky enough. So it will be interesting to see how they will be perceived and which level of the younger fans they will appeal to the most.
This is a song that I haven't heard, and I'm very much looking forward to it because it's supposedly it's much, much rougher, harder, much, much more of heavy metal than we have actually seen in Melfest. But Tina, it just struck me, you are working behind the stage. Have you already heard all the songs?
That's a secret I'll never tell.
It just struck me that Tina has most likely heard all the songs. And have you noticed how she is staying very,
yes,
very neutral and a little bit silent during our discussions here? Oh my God! I'm so jealous.
A true professional.
And she's not saying anything either. She's just saying dead silent. She's got the biggest smirk on her face I've ever seen in my life. And she's not saying a word.
I have my dream job. I'm not doing anything to jeopardize this. I am not getting fired. No.
I didn't mean to try to get you fired, Tina.
No,
I wanted to emphasize how jealous I am.
I understand. And if I could share, I would have. But unfortunately, I cannot.
Wow. After all this time, we always pester Toby to find out if he's heard the songs, and Tina is sitting there all this time. Never mind. Tina, anyway, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to ask you a question about the next artist, but you don't have to tell me what the song sounds like. Don't you worry. I'm not going to try and get you fired.
Okay.
But it's Lasse Stefans, right?
Yeah.
And I've made some notes. You're a music journalist, but perhaps you've got the same notes as me. They've written and recorded 44 albums and have released 800 plus songs. That's astonishing.
Jo, yeah. Lasse Stefans are what I would say dansbandslegender. So this is an older culture in Sweden. So like in the whole country, we have parks that we call the folk parks. So people would go there and then these bands would play these folky sort of pop songs. And that's how they toured and made their money. So Lasse Stefans is one of these bands that also, of course, made it commercially. And they've been doing it for quite a long time. They are not youngsters, which you will see if you see them on stage later on. But they're, of course, I mean, with the career that they have, obviously, they have fans, they are loved, they have been successful. We'll see what they will bring and how that also will be sort of taken care of when it comes to the audience, if they like it and like it enough to actually vote them to a final or a qualification.
Danny Saucedo, then, we've waited long enough. Very simple question. Toby, I'll come to you first. Is he here to win?
Yes. Yeah, yes. This time, the last time he wasn't. The last time he was bored because of COVID. He was bored because of COVID. This was something to do. So he entered with the Dandy Dansa. But I do think that when he was in the competition then and realized in the final that he wasn't one of the favorites, he wasn't the one that people wanted to interview, he probably realized that, it was fun to be here, but not as fun as it is when you are one of the competitors. This time, he's mentioned in interviews that this is more in the style of Amazing and In the Club. It is a dance upbeat song, and yes, absolutely, he's in it to win it. And I am so much looking forward to seeing this on stage and see what he can do with it. I've heard a snippet of it, and it is in the school of Amazing.
I was just wondering if you're going to tell us any more.
No.
Going to say anything else about the song?
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
No. No. No. No. It is.
Nobody's going to, Toby, nobody's going to fire you. You can say whatever.
I told you what I heard. It is the same school as Amazing. And that's why I'm so excited about seeing the performance, because I know that he can put on a show. And I can't say if this is a winning song before I've seen his show.
Bella, in the final last year, he made an appearance, didn't he? Was it last year? Was that right?
It was, yeah, when he was elected into Hall of Fame. And the whole thing was about him, like, always being second. Do you remember? Like, the whole sketch around it, and he was talking over it, and then he performed. So I feel like this is just the build-up, you know, that he is... That tells me as well that is really his aim this year. So it should be very
It'll be quite interesting having a person that is already in the Hall of Fame, who has also been a host of Mello and been competing for a few times, if he, after all of this, actually... if he actually becomes the Swedish representative, but we'll see.
It's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously we mentioned before he has come so close in the end. Tina, you mentioned he's in the Hall of Fame. We mentioned his interval act last year, where he sort of embraced that coming second. So for him, do we feel that there is a part of him that just has this deep-rooted desire to finally put to bed all of that and just get to Eurovision?
I mean, of course, otherwise he wouldn't be here, would he? I mean, it's not like, why would he be here to finish second again or finish even, you know, of course he's in it to win it.
And also, look at it. It's so unfair that he hasn't won it. Erik Sade has won it. Måns Zelmerlöw has won it. And Danu should have won it twice because both In the Club and Amazing are such great songs. But Erik Sade's Popular and Loreen's Euphoria was even better. He effing deserves a victory if his song and performance is equally great, of course.
Is the big word at this point. Me and Bella, we haven't heard the songs yet. You listening at home, you've not heard the songs yet.
No.
And we have to wait to see the performance as well, because that's where it all lies, isn't it, Bella? We can say, oh, it's great that Danny's back, but if you haven't heard the song, if you haven't seen the performance, we just don't know at this stage, do we?
No, I can't wait. I can't wait to first hear the little snippet that they release and then see the little bit where you can see a little bit and then see the whole thing on Saturday. Yes, I just want to speed up time.
You and me both. Toby, Tina, you'll be heading out to, I've not made a note of which city is it in.
Eskilstuna.
Eskilstuna.
Which isn't too far away from Stockholm, right?
Blessed be, I'm so thankful. I cannot do any more hours on the train. It's enough. It's only 1.5 hour. So yeah, it's close to Stockholm. And as soon as we've got a few more hours of sleep in our bodies, I think me and Tobbe will be straight packing our bags and gone. Yeah?
Yeah, we didn't say it on the recording, but we chatted beforehand. And between them, Toby and Tina have had 6 hours sleep. From Saturday night into Sunday morning. So
well done, guys. I'm proud. Very proud.
Thank you very much.
Exactly, Bella. They're real troopers for joining
and,
us.
And I'm the one with the most sleep. Tina has not slept at all, basically.
I'm sleeping now.
Maybe that's a sign we need to stop. And probably it is a good time anyway. Toby, Bella, Tina, thanks for joining us on Melfest Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I will say it again, a big thanks to Toby and Bella and Tina for joining us again here on Melfest Monday. And of course, thanks to you for tuning in, getting your Melfest fix to kick off the week. It was great to look back at Saturday and look ahead to another, what seems to be a very exciting and intriguing heat this coming weekend. Is it going to be Dotter versus Danny, or is there going to be a little bit more to it? We'll just have to wait and see. We will be back on Wednesday for your regular episode of the Eurotrip, and back in 7 days' time for your brand new episode of Melfest Monday. In the meantime, don't forget you can keep in touch with us online. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. You can email us hello@eurotrippodcast.com. You can read all of our exclusive stories on eurotrippodcast.com. And if you would like to support what we do here on the podcast, you can do that over on buymeacoffee.com/eurotrippodcast. As well, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.